to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, your God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to be in Corinthians today too, and tomorrow, because it's such a great book. And we know at the very beginning, in Corinth, Kimberly, it was an idolatrous city, full of incest, full of lust, the same as when we were going through Thessalonians. Thessalonians was also an idolatrous town. It wasn't easy to establish things like churches there.
And just good morals.
Yeah.
Spreading the good morals and letting people know that we don't have to behave this way anymore.
Yes.
We can act differently.
Yes. And Paul introduces in Corinthians 13, the love chapter. So we know that he is giving them fundamental principles on living a Christian life because they hadn't experienced it before. They had no standards. Like some of us have been raised in families where grandma and grandpa knew the Lord Jesus. So we said prayers at every meal and that kind of thing. So we were kind of raised in that atmosphere. Some people are not raised in that atmosphere. And you may be listening today and say, I wasn't raised in that atmosphere. I didn't know anything about Jesus until my friend or my loved one told me about Jesus. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh. We're so blessed.
We are. Oh, and you are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And if you would like to listen to programs, you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on that radio. And it will give you all kinds of programs you want to listen to.
That's right. And we're also on Spotify. So look for us on Spotify. We're under Freedom Street Radio. Radio. You know how I memorized it? I get confused because I think Freedom Stradio in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks like Freedom ST Radio. So I was going to say Stradio, and I just tripped up. Because
in fact, when you Google and you type in, you do type in Freedom ST Radio. Is
yes.
that true?
Yes. That's how I memorized it.
Okay.
Freedom
All right.
Stradio.
So that's good. That's good. Freedom Stradio. That's what you look into.
Yes.
And also there you can donate. You can also get wonderful teaching. Kimberly has put several teachings on her blog. So you might want to just go there and snoop and look around. It's a wonderful new website. Thank you, Chris, for that wonderful website. So we were talking about Corinth and Thessalonians, Kimberly, because it was a very idolatrous town.
Yes, and you have 2 Thessalonians 3:3 as the memory verse this
yes.
week. And because you have that, then I just want to go and look at that. I want to back up to verse 2. But let me read 2 Thessalonians 3:3 in the Passion Translation. But the Lord Yahweh is always faithful to place you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
If we back up one verse to verse 2, it says, and pray that God will rescue us from wicked and evil people, for not everyone believes the message.
That's right. Not everybody did.
Right.
And it was really, we could call it persecution. We could call it tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
We could call it those thorns that Paul ask the Father to take out of their lives. In the Old Testament, Kimberly, we read where the thorns are the enemy of Israel. They call them actually thorns that were in
right.
the side of Israel. So in the New Testament, when Paul picks out this little phrase, thorns in the flesh, we believe, and I believe especially, that these were enemies of Paul. from the outside, nothing that was physical from the inside, but outside that he was persecuted.
Yeah, I believe that too. That's good. And I also believe for myself that the thorns can be the enemies of God that are pride, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Those are enemies of our God.
Right.
And they do become thorns in our own flesh when we hang on to pride or unforgiveness or resentment or self-pity.
Yes.
So we do not want those thorns. I also wanted to point out in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, and pray that God will rescue us from wicked. I just want to pull out that word for a moment because it can also be translated weird, irrational, absurd, and disgusting.
Wow.
So if you ever find yourself in thoughts that are looping around in your head that are weird, the Lord is the one who can rescue us from those weird thoughts that just keep going round and round in our mind.
Yes.
Irrational thoughts, you know, and it is the Lord that we look to.
Yes. We have to get rid of those in order to put the word inside of us. And so that's it. That's why cleansing is so important, friend. Just cleansing yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet and asking God to make you a new creation. I know I was reading Psalm 51 today, and King David is asking the Lord to forgive him for adultery. And he's saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to get not conformed any longer to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds.
That's right.
And that's the word of God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
And it is the Lord who is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the chaos, from the irrational thoughts, the weirdness.
That's right. And like I read yesterday, and the Lord Yahweh is always faithful to place you on a firm foundation.
Yes.
The rock Christ Jesus.
That's
the
good.
Firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. And that was from the Passion Translation. Well, Kimberly, you came home last night and you said, oh, we were studying 1 Corinthians 2, and that was Darren's probably favorite chapter of all the chapters that he knew and he taught on. And I thought, oh, we got to go to the first chapter first, the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my friends, the wisdom of God is so important in your life. Don't take directions from the world or information from the world. I call it information, Kimberly, because nothing from the Lord conveys truth. It's just all warped. It's fake. It's like President Trump is saying it, fake news. I think he was the one that started the fake news when
he coined the phrase
on his first term. So,
yes.
So we need the wisdom of God in our lives. And that cross is the power of God.
Yes.
The suffering.
Yes.
And you were talking about the dying to ourselves.
Right. So I do remember a season in my life where I believed that because Jesus suffered and died, I won't have to. And it's not untrue. That's not untrue. But I was avoiding suffering and avoiding dying to my own ideas and my own opinions, my own dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I was avoiding all of that because Jesus died for that. So now I get to have all my dreams.
Oh, that's right. Were you young when you said that?
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah, in your concepts.
In my teens.
Teens, yes.
So having a season like that, well, I know some people that got stuck in that season, and they still are praying for their own dreams to come true. And they believe that they don't have to be suffering. So when any kind of suffering comes on them, they are binding that suffering. They don't want that. And what we have figured out, what we've grown into, Mom, you and I both, is knowing that we can walk through any storm. We can go through any storm in life and trust that Jesus is the one who's got us.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one holding us in the boat through the storm. We're going to go through it, and we're going to get to the other side.
That's right.
That's the point.
We were talking about the binding and loosing, and oh, that's a very important concept.
It is.
Jesus used it twice in two chapters in Matthew. The binding is really preliminary. in our own lives. And Kimberly, we were talking about that too.
Mm-hmm.
I first bind out things in my own life that are keeping me from growing closer to God. Shame, pride, anger, unforgiveness, all of those.
Right.
We can bind those spirits in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And that occurs first before we go out into the congregation or out into the world and bind this spirit here and that spirit there.
Right.
We need to do it with, we need to have a real house keep a cleaning,
yes.
House cleaning, yes.
In ourselves.
In ourselves, yes.
Right. And so when we're focused inwardly with that binding, being able to then loose grace and peace and joy, patience, all the fruits of the Spirit, loosing the fruits of the Spirit out mm-hmm. onto others mm-hmm. is much more powerful. It has an effect that is much greater than when we just try to bind other people and what those spirits are, binding those spirits in us first that need to be bound, that mm-hmm. and getting rid of those obstacles, then we have a very clear path to loose the fruits of the Spirit in this world.
Yes, that's right. So the 18th verse of 1 Corinthians 1 begins with, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing," that's the world, "foolishness." You mention the cross or the blood of Jesus to any of your friends who are not born again, and they'll just look at you, maybe cross-eyed, but they'll look at you. And Paul is saying here, "But to us who are being saved," and that's a sanctification process. Paul understood this, and Kimberly, it is a process. It truly is. It is a journey. We cannot become so absolutely pristine in our behavior and our attitudes right after we get born again.
It doesn't
There's
work
no
that way.
Even though he says you are sanctified through Jesus, you are the righteousness mm-hmm. of God through Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that happens in the Spirit first, and then we get cleaned out.
We get to work on it. We're
yeah.
working out our salvation
That's
through
right.
our mind and our flesh.
That's right. But to us who are being saved, that's continually going on. It is the power of God. What is the power of God? The cross is the power of God.
That's right.
Oh.
And if you started in verse 18, it's kind of hard for me to just start in the middle because there's so many wonderful things before that.
Well, you know why I chose that? Because the title before verse 18 is The Wisdom of God. So
yes.
That's what I thought. Oh, that's a good place to begin.
It is, yes.
Yeah, so go for it.
I agree.
Go for it.
That's your title in the New American Standard. My title in the Passion Translation is The True Power of the Cross, which is the wisdom you're talking about.
That's right.
And that comes through laying down your life. It comes through. So if I just read just the one sentence before that, it says, "I trust in the all-sufficient cross of Christ alone." And when we join Jesus in his way, he gave us a pattern. He gave us the example of how to live this life. And by the way, if you're tuning in here and you're listening and you think this life is it and there's nothing after this life,
wow.
This is not it. In fact, we have a life prepared for us that is more real than this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more colorful and it's more powerful and it's more sustaining. It's eternal. This is just our temporary season. And
right.
once we get through this temporary season here on this planet, we have got an eternal season that is absolutely amazing.
That's right. Oh,
and we want
God.
To continue to believe that as we walk through these scripture verses and believe that it's Jesus' example to us to show us how to lay down our own desires, our own dreams. I wonder about him. He knew he was coming to
mm-hmm.
die.
Mm-hmm.
And when his mom asked him to turn the water into wine at the wedding, he said to her, "It's not my time yet."
It's not my time. But he did it.
He did it
he
to
did
honor
it.
Her.
Yes.
But, you know, even his timing, he was laying it down.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think we need something in a certain time frame, when we learn to lay it down, that is how we are being sanctified and we're being saved. We're working out our salvation when we lay those things down.
Mm,
we're following
God.
The power of the cross and we are receiving the wisdom of God.
That's right. Well, Paul here, he learned the Old Testament. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. And he is saying here, for it is written. Now, he's talking about the cross is the power of God. And in verse 19, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Or in the Passion, it says, I will dismantle the wisdom of the wise, and I will invalidate the intelligence of the scholars. And we're learning that today, Kimberly. People, students are graduating from our universities and colleges that don't even have the level of a third grader. They're not learning.
Well, and we also want to see that dismantling the wisdom of the wise in this context is talking about how we, as human beings, we think it's so wise to follow what we learn in these universities, mm-hmm. or to follow what we learn from the medical field or mm-hmm. the scientists. Mm-hmm. And we think that's wise. However, there's a wisdom that's greater than that.
Yes.
And that wisdom involves laying something down and learning to love.
Mm-hmm. And hundreds of years before Paul, here was Isaiah. And that's where Paul got this verse. Isaiah 29 verse 14. So God is expecting us. I know we love the New Testament. We love the covenant. We love what Jesus did, the age of grace, but we've got to learn God's heart and what he did in the Old Testament, because some of these scriptures are going to come up. They're going to say, as God says, and as Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 1, trying to teach these people foundations of the born-again life. And he says, I will dismantle the wisdom of the wise, and I will invalidate the intelligence of the scholars. And Kimberly, that's important for even today. That was hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and yet we're experiencing the same thing.
That's right.
That's right.
And the concept hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. We're not really time beings. We're eternal beings made for an eternal realm. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the lessons have not changed.
That's
what
right.
Jesus taught is still true today.
Yes. So where is the wise philosopher who understands? And where is the expert scholar who comprehends? And where is the skilled debater of our time who could win a debate with God? Hasn't God demonstrated that the wisdom of this world system is utter foolishness? Yes, several times in the New Testament, the New Covenant, he's saying that. The wisdom of this world is foolishness
yes.
to God. So the 21st verse here of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, I love the books of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd. And we were talking about, we're going to get to it, 1 Corinthians 15, about our bodies changing from the mortal and the physical to the immortal. What you were talking about, Kimberly, the forever life that we have in heaven.
Yes.
For this wisdom, God designed that all the world's wisdom would be insufficient to lead people to the discovery of himself.
All the world's wisdom.
All the world's wisdom.
Is insufficient to lead people to discover him.
Yes. You know why? Because Jesus is the answer for the world today. And
that's
you've
right.
got to accept the name of Jesus in order to reach God. There's only one way to get to God and to get to heaven,
mm-hmm.
and that's through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yes.
And I believe it's not just confessing a name. It's getting to know him
mm-hmm.
and actually following his example.
Yes. So it says here that, he took delight in baffling the wisdom of the world by using the simplicity of preaching the story of the cross in order to save those who believe it. Praise God.
Right. Those who believe it. Mm-hmm. Believe what? The story of the cross.
Yes.
Again and again, we're going to
mm-hmm.
see this theme of dying, laying something down, laying
yes.
your life down, your ideas,
mm-hmm.
your motives.
Yep. That meaning came many years ago, Kimberly. How long have we been singing, I surrender all?
That's right.
I surrender
mm-hmm.
all.
But we can sing it and not actually believe it
or do
it.
That's right. We can leave church and, mm-hmm. yes, not even look back. not even turn around. Verse 22 says, for the Jews, now see, they not only had to bring up a church from an idolatrous population, but the Jews were following them around. What if you had somebody following you every day and just taunting you, teasing you, griping and complaining about the message that you're presenting to people? Oh my goodness. So he was attacked from two fronts. And that's amazing that he raised up these churches, Kimberly.
Yes.
It really was,
right.
Is. For the Jews constantly demand to see miraculous signs, while those who are not Jews constantly cling to the world's wisdom. But we preach the crucified Messiah.
There it is again.
That's right.
The crucified. He laid his life down.
That's right. The Jews stumble over him and the rest of the world sees him as foolishness. But for those who have been chosen to follow him, and when you ask Jesus to forgive you, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, folks. And both Jews and Greeks, he is God's mighty power, God's true wisdom, and our Messiah.
That's right. And it, when we choose to follow his example also is when we are becoming this. This God's true wisdom.
Yes.
It's his wisdom. It's and his secrets and his mysteries that he wants to reveal are all found in us choosing to follow the example that Jesus gave, laying
right.
down his life, his
right.
agendas, his goals, his dreams,
yes.
laying them down.
Yes. God's mighty power, his true wisdom, and our Messiah, Jesus. For the foolish things of God have proven to be wiser than human wisdom, and the feeble things of God have proven to be far more powerful than any human ability. We were talking the other day about great authors like C.S. Lewis, even Kenneth E. Hagin, great foundational truths for the full gospel person. Other names come up also. And these men did not see the importance of their writings until after they died.
Oh,
and that's really
right. Many
interesting.
People, right.
Yes.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Yes, that they probably did not have a great following when they were alive, or people were saying, I don't want to listen to him. And it's true here, too, now. But we see that these people that wrote beautiful, beautiful books and the truth came out in their teachings, they were not popular until after they left. And then people discovered, I think because Holy Spirit is being poured out more and more and more as we get closer to Jesus
coming
back.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Mom. The fact that there is a harvest that comes or even just a huge crop that comes when a seed falls into the ground and dies when it's planted.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been taken for granted while they were alive, but what they were trying to convey to us through visions, through words, poems, stories, what they were trying to convey, all of the sudden when they die, here it is again, laying down your life, when they die, that actually opens up the eyes of people who were thinking, who may have taken them for granted while they were alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but now they are looking more deeply into those visions and realizing, oh, there's something going on here.
That's right. This morning when you came into the house, you said, did you plant those little poppies? And I said, nope, those little poppies came all by themselves through a seed. You're absolutely right, Kimberly. We plant seed. Do we plant the bad seed or do we plant the good seed?
And seeds can come different ways.
Well,
it might have come through bird poop.
I'm
just saying.
Okay.
That sometimes we don't realize how that seed is being planted in our life. And it might not be something that smells really good that comes our way, but a seed is planted and we can be thankful for that.
Yes. Okay. On to another subject. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, brothers and sisters, consider who you were when God called you to salvation. He saw your heart. He saw your sincerity. He saw your humility in bowing down to Jesus and making him your Savior and Lord. So here God is seeing that. Not many of you were wise scholars by human standards, nor were many of you in positions of power. Not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's call. But God chose those whom the world considered foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and powerless to shame the high and mighty. And you can consider yourself little and puny and useless and not a whole lot of energy or muscle. No, that God doesn't choose us and live to those standards and expect us to live to those standards.
Right. And yet he always blesses those who are in need.
Yes.
He blesses the poor in spirit, mm-hmm. and he does not leave the needy without giving them provision.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And so he chose the lowly, the laughable, in the world's eyes, nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies. It's not that he wanted to shame people, but he wants any way he can choose, or any way he can figure out. I don't know if God figures out things. I think that wisdom is just right there.
He needs to get to our hearts.
That's right.
He does.
Any way he needs to get people. And some people are stubborn. They're defiant.
That's describing me now, Mom.
They're just,
now you're just describing
rebellious.
Me.
But we have to look at what God is doing in this earth. And as we pray for our loved one, that is going to help soften, and Holy Spirit's going to come gently to them so that they are in a receivable attitude to accept Jesus
Christ.
Praise
the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He is the one who does this work for us, for he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent.
That's right.
So that there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence.
Oh.
And so I believe, Mom, that when it talks about shame here, it's not God shames us, because that is not part of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to learn humility
yes.
some way.
That's right.
And we need to let pride drop so that we can become on the needy end of things. He blesses those who are needy so that we can become poor in spirit.
Yes, because he does hate the boastful.
Mm.
He does hate pride more than anything else. That pride is just such a devastating spirit.
It is.
So we need to remember that Jesus, the Anointed One, through Jesus, the Anointed One, my friend, God has given us wisdom and righteousness, holiness, and redemption.
Yes. If you are enjoying what we're talking about today, feel free to go to freedomstreet.org to look this up again. And we're also on Spotify. Remember to look for us on Spotify. It's Freedom ST Radio. So it looks like Freedom Stradio. I was stumbling over that earlier. And look for us there. Look for more of the teaching. We're going to continue this very teaching tomorrow. So I hope you'll tune in again and hear more.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in